Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts. Today's episode is going to be called The Awakening. And what is it about? Sort of like almost exactly what it sounds like, except for the newcomers, it might be quite shocking. For those of you who've been trying to wake up yourself and wake up others, this will be a great review of sort of our accomplishments. Because I think it's important that we... It's going to be a good episode because I got a ladybug right here. And she's just like, go. But we work every single day to wake ourselves up, to wake other people up. But I don't think we stop to take an accolade every once in a while, reward and recognize our accomplishments. And so that's what this is about. And to go over various key areas of waking up. Now, I'm going to focus on two major groups of truth, which would be groups that I believe are unequivocally areas where we have awakened with predominantly the truth. And then I'm going to talk about areas where maybe we've wakened up and maybe it's the truth. Because it's still new. And so we're not quite sure whether or not we got it right. It'll all make sense. So when you wake up, you find out very quickly that there are past things that are important, and there are present things that are important. I've always said on the show that I believe that it is the ruling class's wet dream for you to be focused on the past. Even if you dig up every single thing about 9/11 that is an inside job, they look at you and they'll ask the question among themselves and they'll say, well, is he or she figured out what we're doing next? Oh, no. They just figured out 9/11 finally, you know, after 15 years. And they're like, oh, well, whatever. Just make sure they don't get close to today's agenda. And I think that's one thing that they love. So I'm going to try to end on now, so it's the last thing you take out of the camp here. But I definitely will be touching on it in the meantime, right? The number one accomplishment that I think we have achieved, especially in 2016, and perhaps due to several circumstances, one, I believe the fabric of society has absolutely unequivocally gotten tired of mass media. We have been talked to like idiots through broadcast speak, through radio speak, through commercial speak for so long, we're absolutely tired of it. And I know it's different in different countries. What I found interesting was that I went to Britain in 2001 several times, or 2000, excuse me. I realized that their advertising seemed to talk more normal. It seemed like to me, and it was more riveting than being talked to like an idiot over here in America. But we still have just metric tons of this shit in our country. And I believe that we're all becoming hip to it, and I think we're tired of it because we realize that that tone of voice is associated with bullshit, and the more we listen, the more we get bullshitted no matter what we're listening to. You know, if we're looking for a sponge to clean up our kitchen sink a little bit better, and someone starts talking to us in this tone of voice, that particular sponge, whether it be good or bad, is not the one we're going to buy. You know? One of the reasons why they say that the Bilderberg Group is secret is that they want people to be frank, and no one would be frank if everything that they said was transcribed and handed out to the public. I think it is fairly fascinating that this meeting does happen quite often, and we, even though Daniel Estulin said he had an inside mole giving him agenda papers and attendee sheets and all that kind of stuff, the one thing that we haven't had is anyone come out and say this is what was said in the Bilderberg meeting. It was extremely heated, and so-and-so told so-and-so to go screw himself. Now, not that that would ever happen on average because you wouldn't be invited back, but not even a single heated debate has been brought up, which I think is pretty fascinating because we know the meeting happens, right? Now, back to the point. We are waking up. We are sick and tired of being, well, at least a lot of us are sick and tired of being talked to or having, well, you know, there's two halves to it. So being talked to like we're morons, we're talked to like this, right? But the other thing is to be censored within your own family, within your own workspace, such that you have to be, you have to wrap every single description of reality inside a sort of, what do they say, you know, sort of candy coat, which you have to say to insulate the feelings of some, you know, weak person. I just want you to know, all right, everything in life is weak until it is exposed to the elements of harshness and then it becomes stronger. It is not good to negate this development cycle, right? Mothers in this particular generation want to coddle their children until they are 30 years old, 40 years old. Live at home. My insecurities are going to be satiated by the fact that my parent, I never have to say goodbye to my children. I lure them back to the house, right? Every crustacean in the ocean has a soft shell until it is exposed to the elements and that shell hardens. I've had this incredible life, and I've had this incredible life because my father was definitely harsh. Not in a bad way, in absolutely, I think, every good way. He only screwed up a couple times his whole life disciplining me, right? And, well, that's a pretty good record. Now that I've been a parent, it's a pretty good record, right? So, we must remain human. We must prepare ourselves for the elements. You know, my buddy is an Italian, big lovable guy, but one tough son of a bitch, right? He told me once that when you're a kid in Brooklyn, he comes from Red Hook, baby, which is the Red Hook is an area of Brooklyn, I guess, that if you're from the other areas, they go, oh shit, you're from Red Hook? Okay. Well, you need anything? But he said they used to smack you around if you're a boy. They'd smack your head. They'd smack your body. They'd smack you around. They'd talk to you harshly. And it's not because they didn't love you, because Italians might have the biggest hearts on planet Earth. I mean, there's got to be a world record for the lovable heart of an Italian. So they love their children, and they will protect their children to the ultimate degree. But at the same time, they want their children to be safe when they're gone. So when a father or an uncle has to raise one of the family members, they know that the way to do it is to smack them up. Now, maybe it's a little bit different today. A little bit different. But I've met his family members, and oh boy, you've never been more intimidated in your life, you know? They're good, sweet people, so you get them on your side, and geez, just be genuine, be real, be honest. That's what they are. And that's what we need to be as a group of human beings. So I think we've sort of, you know, this is sexual DNA that needed to change in us to smell bullshit. We now can smell it. We can feel it. We can hear it. And that is probably the first level of awakening that I think has occurred that is just super exciting, because with that, it's almost like that parable of that Jesus, you know, said that, you know, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach him how to fish, he can live forever, you know? So we now have some equipment to feed ourselves truth, to decipher truth from fiction, right? And that's exciting for me. Because then it's sort of like, you know, giving a kid a bunch of research, or I would say a bunch of scientific knowledge, and then kind of sending them off into the universe. And then you know that when they come back to visit, they're going to have discovered something and you're going to be entertained. And so part of that awakening algorithm is all about that, right? Now, at the same time, we have learned to live with the, if you're a truther, we've learned to live with ridicule. And at first, it was very disorienting, and the Army Corps of PSYOPs that work for the United States government, who are paid billions and billions of dollars per year to troll us, right? They are out there to curb our ability to wake up, to keep us asleep through, you know, software robots that go out and just sniff posts and put in random replies to human beings that actually get out there and start engaging in really negative conversations. I think we're doing pretty good. I think we're doing pretty good at either just turning off their feed and just saying, look, you have nothing to say, or ignoring them. But I think that we've learned how to go to bed at night without tears in our eyes, you know. And I think that's amazing, too. I've had, you know, probably literally only like half a dozen people try to troll this channel. One was a well-intending old guy that simply didn't understand the etiquette of YouTube, and he posted probably 30 replies on the moon video, and it really broke my heart. But I was like, no one can see anyone else's replies at this point, because this guy has eaten up 15 pages of comments, you know, or sorry, 3 pages of comments, if you keep scrolling down and having to refresh, right? So I tried to reply to him. He kept just watching the video. It's a 2-hour video about the moon missions. And so every single time he found something, he put in a blurb, and, you know, the dude was wrong about so much. It wasn't even funny. He didn't do his own research, but he's yelling at me to do my research. And it just came to a point where I was like, there's no value in this. And so I just blocked him. I just got rid of all of his comments. Now I kind of wish I would have gone back and written a bunch of them down, but replying to stupidity is a waste of my time, right? It's a hellish windy out here. Hopefully the mic is not picking it up. But, you know, I don't want to get off on any personal tangent in the real world. But I think overall, we have, you know, we know the people will come out with their barrage of just kind of like mouth diarrhea if they happen to read something that they don't believe. And in my own circles, it's very interesting when I have, like I said, I have a person of mine who is, a friend of mine, excuse me, who is awakened. He will detail 9/11 on a level that will blow your mind. He was friends with the architect who designed the building, the Japanese gentleman whose name escapes me. He went and researched down to like Sandy Hook being an inside job. And he's seen all the videos of the complete fraud of that whole thing. If you haven't, you must. But when I bring him the moon, when I bring him, you know, just contemplating the idea of a flat earth, which, of course, everyone, again, goes into, like, throw-up mode if you don't believe that, or if you're unable to keep your mind open, he won't study the facts. He won't refute the science. He just knee-jerks from a position of, oh, how ridiculous. You know? I don't know what people felt like when they saw that Stonehenge was fully reconstructed from scratch in 1954. After a 1914 retrofit and a 1901 retrofit in its previous location, every single stone was picked up from a different location and brought to the location that it is at now. It didn't exist there. Where it is today, it did not exist at all in any form in 1953. It has been completely reconstructed under the historical recreation of a few historians, right? People who worship druids, right? You know, I saw a very interesting thing, and prepare to roll your eyes. Okay. Eric Dubey. Or Dubley, I can't, I think it's D-U-B-E-Y, Dubey. Very interesting guy. He's one of the huge flat earthers. I believe he lives overseas in Asia, and he's sort of like this martial arts master, yoga master kind of guy. Very subdued person. Very eccentric guy, which I think is cool. He released a video that a friend of mine sent to me yesterday night about the fact that dinosaurs are a complete fictional construction of paleontologists and archaeologists and people interested in sort of evolution and Darwinism. And I haven't fact-checked everything he said in this video, but if he did, if what he has said is true, it's fascinating. And I sent it to Kyle, my co-host, who's a big dinosaur aficionado. And even he was like, oh, you know, that doesn't make sense. That's really weird. And essentially it was the following, that a scientist, and whose name escapes me at the time, at this moment, had theorized that they exist. And within a few years, they found this whole species of different animals that was theorized to exist as a result of the theory of evolution, right? So automatically they start finding these creatures. What was interesting about the claim was that not a single society prior to the 1800s had found a dinosaur bone. Like, no one had found a skull somewhere. And, you know, it's like a tribe. They take skulls of bears, skulls of humans, and they say this is either one that we killed or one we defeated, and they put them up, and it's a relic. And so it wasn't until they were theorized that they were found. And the other thing was that they covered the fact that the methodology by which you could fake the bones, and I guess what you can do is melt bone down from any animal on planet Earth. You can literally just heat it up and it loses its cohesion, turns into a goo, and then you can put a glue in there, obviously very carefully, and you can mold these this bone goop into anything that you want, using other animals as a guide, and then you can just improvise horns and big teeth and stuff. But he talked about how the original bones are never on display. The original bones are always locked in these vaults, that everything you've ever seen in every single museum are fabricated bones, and every single dinosaur that appears complete in its archaeological existence barely had, 20% of its bones discovered. So they keep improvising all these bones. Many of the dinosaurs in all the museums around the world, which is like 60 museums around the world, they didn't find the skull. But every single one of them has an artificial skull. Usually mocked after a lizard, a dragon lizard, even chickens. Well, just whatever looks like it'll pass is what they've done. Now, I haven't done any research in that whatsoever. Someone had commented... So the reason why I mentioned this is two reasons. Someone did comment, just as a footnote, that they said that there was a place on Earth where they'd found cave paintings, and it appeared as if they had illustrated something on the dinosaur level. That would be news to me. But this half-hour video, I have not seen... I mean, he's done a bunch of flat Earth stuff. So, in terms of pissing off people that don't like to be told that they've been had, even if he's incorrect... usually he has, 60% positive, 40% negative. But I will tell you that last night, on the subject of being trolled, I went through this, and I'm telling you, he had 98% videos on this thing, comments on this thing, or people just calling him names from every single possible conceivable angle. And Eric is, for being sort of a Buddhist, he's very Christian, and his whole thing is to resurrect the significance of the Bible, God and Jesus and all that stuff, through suggesting the world's flat, and then there's a firmament overhead, which is what the Bible says, and the fact that the Bible never discussed dinosaurs, and that the world is roughly 4,500 to 6,000 years old. So, I think... What strikes me as something positive right now is that a lot of us are at least getting the opportunity, or we're developing the mechanisms to have the opportunity to evaluate what might have previously seemed completely crazy. If someone had said there's no dinosaurs, or they're all fake 15 years ago, I may not have made it through the video. But I sat there and watched it. The whole flat Earth thing, it has got to be the most Twilight Zone thing I've ever heard asserted, and to watch people like Neil deGrasse Tyson lie on television about the Earth being an oblate sphere, an oblate sphere with a larger bottom than a top, like a pear. I can't believe that I watched Neil deGrasse Tyson on a radio show say this with his own mouth, with his hands in the air to demonstrate the shape he was discussing. Any of you that would like to flick off this video right now because you think the flat Earth is the stupidest goddamn thing you've ever heard, Neil deGrasse Tyson telling you that the Earth is an oblate sphere, which means sort of a bulgy center, with a larger bottom, you are screwed. If you want to prove that assertion wrong through science, you have just lost that race. Among the other, I don't know, 200 reasons why, you know, science doesn't back the globe Earth. I don't know what the hell's up, what's going on personally. Maybe it's a computer simulation. It's just, who gives a shit what shape it is? But I'm telling you right now, two things. NASA's pictures from space and every other space agency's claimed composite photographs of Earth make Earth so freaking round, it's ridiculous. My physics teacher was told, when, you know, he was an old man professor to me, he said to me, he goes, you know, you could take the Earth and dry it up with a towel, and he goes, it would be smoother than the cue ball on a pool table. That's how absolutely perfectly smooth Earth is and how round it is. Didn't say anything about an oblate sphere. Neil deGrasse Tyson just asserted on national television, you can just go watch this online, that space has an up and a down. That just like Hillary Clinton's horrible, horrible body, the Earth got saggy, got some saddlebags down below because it rested as it rotated. This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, right? But we are capable of processing this information, and that's cool. Now, does the flat Earth, even if we got above the Earth and saw the disk and took a picture, does that directly influence anyone in the world? No, because there's a group of people that simply won't process that information, even if you brought it to them. You could put them in your spaceship, take them into the sky, and show the two of them, and they just turn away. I mean, they literally just turn their heads and go, why are you doing this to me? Right? You'd be the asshole for showing them the truth. But the nice thing is, a lot of this resistance is now calming down. So let's move on. Thanks for listening to that first part. Chemtrails. Today in the sky of Southern California, it is full of chemtrails. They've lightly sprayed them, so they don't have a heavy, heavy regiment, but it is also windy as hell, and they typically don't spray on windy days because they can't control the descent. So they have sprayed the entire sky with them. It's not... It's probably 20% packed, but it's also been blown in such a way that it's no longer holding into its straight lines. But think about it. Vin Diesel just came out on his personal Facebook page and called out chemtrails. A major international movie star. And what's funny is once Vin Diesel comes out and grabs his balls and says, this is bullshit, every other pandering star that's trying to keep their job by playing it safe looks like an asshole. And everyone who comes after Vin Diesel also looks weak. Hell, Jesse Ventura tried to write chemtrails a blank check. So before you think that guy's on your side, he is trying to keep the chemtrail agenda completely cleansed in the eyes of the people. You know, I go to various venues regularly here in Orange County, little, you know, from just various restaurants and locations, and I hear people all getting sick, and they're just utterly mystified. They'll say, look, I didn't used to get sick, and now I get sick, and it's an upper respiratory problem, and da-da-da. And then what happens in the room is absolutely beautiful, because there's at least one person that goes, well, you're it's the chemtrails, man. And, of course, there's always the baby boomer, what's a chemtrail? And they get educated. And their mind's blown. Everyone's phones come out. Once one person's got the balls to say the chemtrails, there's three other people that jump on board, and they got them in their phones. They're like, well, these things, man. What, 30 years ago, planes used to leave trails? No. Where the hell have you been? Look up. Look up, because they now leave trails, right? People are waking up to chemtrails hardcore. It's beautiful. There's another one. Genetically modified food. Fast food. Processed sugars. We are waking up. Aspartame. The amount of people that post, you know, I have probably about 500 friends on Facebook, and it is phenomenal the amount of people that are posting constantly about GMOs being banned in Europe. Of course, America, we're just still, I think, a little on the idiot curve. But that stuff's going to infect us over here, too. GMOs are nothing more than a little company in Missouri that should be burned to the fucking ground. I swear to God, if I lived in Missouri, I would do whatever I could just to sabotage that joint physically. They are utter and pure concentrated evil. I guess the CEO for a time was a guy named Robert Llewellyn, which is not the Robert Llewellyn I know. But he had armed guards every time he traveled because everybody wanted to kill the guy. He's just a dude. You know, the corporation's thing that probably needs to fall to the ground. But we're waking up. And yeah, there's a bunch of conspiracies that this whole thing, drives up food prices. And so whenever, as everyone transitions and wakes up and they get out of GMOs and they buy organic food, they're paying a lot of money for the organic, which is really more of a rumor than anything else, right? Vaccinations. Vaccinations, which slowly grew over time before we had the internet to help us get informed about it. I even worked in pharmaceuticals when they started to really surface the preventive vaccinations, you know, like chickenpox and that kind of stuff. And even though traitors like Jerry Brown, the governor of California, bending over forwards for the pharmaceutical companies, making sure that every parent has to lose the rights to their own child's sovereign body, they have to vaccinate their kids. And there used to be a form. I don't even know if you could do it anymore, but every 2 years you could sign a form and get your kid out of it. But the one thing is that everyone's waking up. Now, one of the interesting things is as the wake-up occurs, there is sort of a sputtering of people willing to come out. Robert De Niro. I guess, you know, there's a vaccination film that's been made, an anti-vaccination film that's been made, and Robert De Niro was trying to get everyone to go see it. And then somehow he pussies out and pulls out of saying anything negative about the about vaccinations and promoting this film. And I don't know what the real truth is in that situation, but if that has any truth, how disappointing is that? A guy is worth gazillions of dollars in terms of being an actor. He's probably got, I would imagine that dude's got $100 million in the bank. And I mean that sincerely, knowing people that believe that other people are very rich. And they're not. I think that guy's done enough films at $5 to $10 million a pop that he should have that kind of money put away. But he's his own man. And someone called him and got him to pull out to make sure that his image didn't get associated with anti-vaccination programs. All I can say is, what is wrong with the baby boomer generation? You know, when you get to become... There's two things you can do when you get older. And I know both sides. You can get old and say, well, I just want to die full of shit. I just want to die with my bullshit world. Don't make me think anything I don't want to think. I want to be happy and jovial at the cost of all humanity. Or, which, you know, in deep down inside, I think subliminally, these people know they just screwed everyone when they left. They just became a complete chump before they left because they just spited their own beings, their own children, their own grandchildren, etc., by denying the world some truth. And then there are the few. The amazing. Usually they're Gandhis, you know. And towards the end of their life, they're like, I've got nothing to lose. And I'm going to live for the truth. And regardless if you think I am a jerk or a saint, I'm going to speak the truth because I have nothing to lose. I've lived my entire life. I've got Social Security to pay my bills, excuse me. And they go out like heroes. And that's how I think probably most of you devout watchers of this show, regardless if this channel just disappears tomorrow, you're going to go out like that. You're going to go out a hero. And it doesn't matter if you die tomorrow or if you die 100 years from now, you're going to go out heroes. And that's what we need to do. This needs to be sort of a methodology that as we can bullshit ourselves when we're young, but as we get older, we need to really be the voice of dissent. The voice for truth with the capital T. We need to remain awake and more awake as time passes and not become more indoctrinated, right? So let's talk about the past real quick. We are becoming hip to the past. I talked about dinosaurs and that kind of stuff. That's really past. But we talk about on this show that NASA and JPL are pretty much done. Their credibility is utterly done. And this new SpaceX animation headquarters is, you know, they're not getting off the ground. They have produced the most unbelievable, silly, complete lines of bullshit on the YouTube, and it's amazing these people that post this into their Facebook walls, you know, them retro landing a rocket on a barge in the ocean. I mean, if you haven't seen shitty computer generated graphics, you just go watch that. I mean, it defies all logic of how they would have faked this. The animators and the physicists don't talk to each other. Let's just put it that way. It's like literally someone subbed this out to some group and said, you know, it'd be like, okay, well, what are you guys doing? You know, what do I have to do? Well, here's a rocket model. This thing needs to land backwards on this barge in the middle of the ocean. And, you know, we've shot a plate of the ocean. We've shot this barge in the ocean. That's live action. So you're going to run it on top of this live action footage of this barge so that doesn't have to be rendered. And all you got to do is bring the rocket backwards on it. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. A little bit of fire at the bottom. Yeah, a little bit of, yeah, okay. Right, no problem. Never talking to physicists about what is actually possible, right? So these space organizations have lost almost all credibility with most of us. Lying about the moon missions, lying about rovers on Mars, lying about ever landing on any other planet, lying about reconnaissance satellite, whatever, you know. I'm not completely convinced there's not some sort of satellite technology up above. A lot of you don't believe in satellites. I have a family member that works on satellite map technology. So a lot of the top-down photographs that are coming in from satellites, and I've had discussions with her, and she says, you know, like, I can look through the camera live all day long, and it doesn't move. And so I don't know how you replace, how you have that functionality up there with, you know, people are saying there's no satellites, it's all planes, like YouTube planes. Well, this isn't a plane that's moving. This isn't a camera that's moving. And so something can be up there very stationary filming down. So I think that regardless of where we are in the universe, satellites are very, very possible. Doesn't mean the International Space Station is what we think it is, right? But these organizations are dying off because we're able to go into the past and look at things like the moon missions. We're able to look at the photographs, the lack of video, the great documentaries made by Bart Sebrell. The two that you need to go watch are Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon and Astronauts Gone Wild. The second one, which has a horrible name, is utterly fascinating, where he interviews the astronauts and they can't keep their story straight at all, lying about basic facts about the landings. As well as they're shown some footage in the first film, Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, where Buzz Aldrin nearly shits himself and nearly admits they didn't go on camera, but he was smart enough to hold back just that phrase, right? But we also are able to trace back the history of those who formed NASA, of those that were silenced who questioned Gus Grissom and his crew, were murdered on the tarmac of the Apollo 1 pre-flight rehearsal by a switch that was replaced in the dashboard to create a spark in a pure oxygenated environment. He was cooked alive with his two teammates. Just killed because he said this thing is never going to make it to the moon. This whole program's a joke. We're nowhere close to going to the moon. And if you have any, you know, if you want to dispute that, go see episode 26. So we're able to understand that the organizations that we're supposed to use to teach our children have been lying pretty much since the very beginning. Now, some of it, you might be able to say, well, okay, they lied, but they created a lot of national pride. You know, believing that we went to the moon is why one of my friends cannot, he took so much pride out of that scenario that he can't undo that pride from his soul. And so even though the evidence is right in front of his face, this guy, of all people, should know that when you look at the photographs, he understands lighting better than most people on planet Earth, and he simply won't allow the thoughts to come through his head because it's too much of his pride. It's a hell of a thing to wake up realizing that you've been lied to your whole life, you know? But what I don't understand is that some folks aren't able to feel the liberation of such a thing. It's so liberating to have at least, regardless if you know the truth, right? To just know that this particular thing in your brain is not true, and that you don't store it on the truth shelf. Because if you think about it, think about your personal being, and you go inside your mind, like a John Malkovich movie, being John Malkovich, and you're able to go inside, look at the cupboard that is your brain, and imagine that you were to fill up, there's two halves of the rooms, like I always say, one's a this isn't true shelf, and one is this is true, and then there's a little table in the middle for maybes, right? But you go in there after you die, and now all things have a label on them. T or F, right? True or false. And you look at your shelf, and you have a bunch of Fs over on the T shelf. A bunch of falses that you believe to be true. Like, they're bona fide true. They're not maybes. You know, if nothing else, you should have a giant pile in the middle of the room going, I just don't even know. I don't know, right? But imagine you look at that, and then you start to look at the whole ecosystem of your body, and you go, shit, man, if my brain took a bunch of false things and made them true simply because my ego was so fragile that I couldn't believe that my brilliant self couldn't be lied to, then you're going to be a failed human being. I don't even know how you describe it. I mean, if we built a robot that has to know rules about, life, the universe, and everything in order not to kill children and pet cats too hard and walk through doors and, you know, start a fire in your house. I mean, all those rules that need to be taught to a robot. Now, what if we fill the robot with as much bullshit as we fill ourselves with? Where we take all the truth things that it needs to know and we fill it up with falsehoods. What kind of robot do we have at the end of the day? We have this chaotic Tasmanian devil that will kill everything in its wake. So how is it that we can fill ourselves full of bullshit and somehow live a rewarding life? And I know what some of you say. Ignorance is bliss, right? I struggle with that statement. Ignorance is bliss. I think there definitely are beautiful areas where ignorance is bliss. It can play into the account, but a lot of it's subjective. You know, I'll give you an example, right? If you believe you're voting for the president of the United States, and you believe that going to a voting booth actually gets counted without suspicion of it being fraudulently taken from you, then obviously whoever you're voting for doesn't matter, because whoever they want to be president will be president. And this is where I'm going to end this thing in a few minutes here. So, but let's just say that, you know, your child, by the standards of the world, at the moment that you have to raise your child, let's say that you know, you come from a tribe somewhere on earth where there's a gap between your two front teeth. And that is a sign of intelligence. That's a sign of uniqueness that is to be revered. You're lucky if the bigger your gap between your teeth are, your two front teeth, which is kind of funny. The gap between my two front teeth when I was a kid, you could fit a nickel between my two front teeth when I was a kid. Now you couldn't fit a sheet of paper. Flossing's hard, right? So, you know, the child has this physical attribute. But at this particular day and age, let's just say wherever the hell you are in the world, that is frowned upon. And so you have to tell your child that they're beautiful. And in your eyes, they are. And as long as your kid doesn't get ridiculed for that gap in their teeth, right? They live a beautiful life. But the second some kid is an asshole, the second that a child who hates him or herself talks to your child and tries to bring them down to their level, right? Your kid comes home crying, concerned. It's a physical thing you can't just change. Right, actually, they can do all kinds of things to change it, but I think it's kind of sexy, personally. And, you know, it's funny. I've actually read reports that say that people with gap teeth actually are very intelligent. I can't even imagine how that applies to an IQ. But the couple people I know that have those gaps well into their 30s, 40s, and 50s are some of the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. Crazy talented musicians. So you feel me, you know. So I think there are areas, you know, but I just think that truth is not a subjective thing. Truth is not whether or not you're ugly or beautiful. That's all in the eyes of the beholder, right? And screw anybody who puts somebody down, you know, out of sheer, you know, insecurity. But the awakening that we're experiencing, I believe, is approaching, if it has, I'm not quite sure it is on all fronts. Let's just put it this way. I'm not quite sure it is. It has crossed the 50% mark of awakening, but I will tell you this. If there was a hill of truth, and you look up the hill and you see that snowball coming down, gaining mass as it grabs onto the surface of the snow in front of it, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And if you, any of you have built a snowman, isn't it phenomenal how big a snowball gets so quickly, right? You make a kind of a softball size piece of snow and you put it in the ground and it's nice and sticky, and man, you roll that thing and within 20 feet you have a ball of snow that is so massive you can't push it anymore. That's how incredibly powerful an exponential algorithm is, and that's what we're in right now. We're in an awakening of exponential growth. So I'm going to tell you right now, the velocity of that snowball rolling downhill, and the reason why they say rolling downhill is that it's an unstoppable algorithm. The gravity of the object itself is perpetuating and propelling this thing down the hill, and it's not going to stop. And so I think that we are on the cusp of the 50% mark of the world waking up to everything that we talk about. And I think that the establishment is struggling to subdivide us even further, which may be where things like Flat Earth come from. Maybe they have a big list of things that they know that they've bullshitted, and so they are saying, look, these guys are not dividing like they used to. In fact, they're kind of congealing together, right? And they're hip to vaccinations, GMOs, voter fraud, the Bilderberg Group, banking cartels that create fake fiat currency, the fact that wars are based on securing oil to give our fiat currency money, the fact that, you know, like Donald Trump says, we've spent $5 trillion in the Middle East and we got nothing for it. So it is this velocity that's making the difference, which is why we have to roll it down as fast as we possibly can. But imagine they want to subdivide us more. And so they take of their book of tricks, of their things that they have bullshitted us about, and they release it. Maybe they, I'm just going to give you some examples. I'm not trying to say these are true or false, because I don't know. But let's just say 1954 Stonehenge reconstruction, absolutely true. There's 108 photographs you can look at online, taken by one of the participants. The people of England watched it happen. So the fact that there are tons of people alive today who actually watched it get constructed and they're not talking online, what does that tell you about humanity? The people are sitting there willing to take a lie and an accolade that the British people built the oldest stone temple on planet Earth at 5,000 BC, predating, of course, the pyramids, because British people were always before fucking everybody else, right? But they roll out potentially that nuclear bombs weren't real. They roll out that dinosaurs have been constructed from nothing. There's even theories that the pyramids were built in the 1800s. Haha. There's pyramids all over the world that are massive, big as mountains, right? China won't dig theirs up. Egypt won't touch 150 of theirs. The pyramids of the Aztecs down south, there's pyramids that are as big as mountains. They may not be as decorative as the temples that we have uncovered down there, but there are pyramids all over this place. Maybe the world is on a flat disk and this is some massive simulation, and the reason why assholes run the world is because it's part of the caretakers trying to strong arm us from discovering where we are for the greater good of the disk, you know? Because we're supposed to, when you study sociology, you learn that when society knows it's being observed, it behaves differently than when it's just acting on its own. Same with psychology. And so it might be that a lot of this deception, in order to make us believe we're on a ball earth, is all about just simply keeping the sterile, non-biased nature of the Petri dish from being disturbed. And again, for those of you all get all bent out of shape about it being a flat earth, I don't get it. Where's the butt hurt that it's a flat earth? Who gives a shit? We exist. That's one thing that we know. If you're listening to me, then I have recorded my voice tones and the photons that are reflecting off my body into a camera, into a microphone. I mix it all down. We rebroadcast it through a photon audio device that you watch it on, or you're sitting in your car listening to me. All right, well, that's pretty goddamn amazing. And that's just some technology that's been around for 100 years. So if you believe in aliens, for instance, and I think most sentient beings do, unless you're doped out in Christianity, then why wouldn't you believe that someone could build a dome? And, you know, who knows if it has a hard shell on top or something, if it is a flat disc. But James Cook, the sailor that went around the Antarctica, traveled 60,000 miles around the Antarctica, which is supposed to be a continent that's 12,000 miles around. How do you figure? I mean, you know, the dude might have gotten lost, but Jesus Christ, gotten lost to almost five times the distance? I don't think so. Something's up. Doesn't mean that this round disc isn't on a patch that's a ball. I mean, who knows what the hell what's going on, you know? But if we are doing, you know, let's put it this way. The massive multiplayer online games that we have, like World of Warcraft, have entire worlds inside there. And if we could put on virtual headsets and go down into the world and live in it, and fight fights with foam swords in our living rooms with real beasts, which, you know, technically speaking, if I went to Blizzard Entertainment with $1 billion and said, this has to happen, we're going to use all the headsets that are in VR right now, they would be able to pull it off within a year. Figure out all the anomalies of how you express contacting a sword. The sword would vibrate in your hand and make you feel like you hit something. And it's just basically waving your sword, you know. Redo the combat system so it's a little more real time. Whatever. But you'd be able to experience this and ride on a horse, you know, which is a chair in your room. We could do it. So now, what if you take a sentient life form and you say they're a million years ahead of mankind? They did not create atomic bombs and kill themselves. They worked together. They had a genetic peaceful trait to themselves. And they simply said, well, let's create, just as an experiment, artificial intelligence beings, or let's create avatars, just like the movie, right? We are the Na'vi, right? And we inhabit the Na'vi bodies through our souls, which are just lying on some bed somewhere. Again, the one thing that is the same between the real world and this virtual world is our eyeballs. And so when we look each other in the eyes, there's that super connection to our real self, which is why we feel so special seeing each other's eyes, right? But we would build the same thing, wouldn't we? A petri dish to watch what a society would do. Maybe even take some of our own people and put them down inside of a dish. Maybe we take our undesirables. Maybe we're the B-Arc, man. Which is what Douglas Adams suggested in his book. Maybe we are the B-Arc. Maybe it's just a big clue as to who we are. And wait, you know, we're safe. We're all right. Sure, bad things can happen, but Christ almighty, you wouldn't want a world where it's all euphoric like all these atheists demand. You'd be the Q Continuum guy, right? Don't mean to repeat myself, but... So I don't understand why we go from big, strong, you know, puffy chest alpha males or omega females, and we turn into these, you know, Tourette's syndrome trolls on forums and things like, you know, comment sections on YouTube and etc. I don't get it. Relax. Go take a poop. Get the tension out. You know, what's funny about these people too is that, and I'm talking about, I guess, the other 50% / 49% and below that aren't awake, because we're in the other half, right? When you go to a movie and you see Matrix, or you see Pacific Rim, or you see Star Wars 57, you are going in there. These people, I should say, because we already know what we do, but these people go in there and they're looking for a suspension of disbelief. To the degree that the writers, directors, production designers, DPs, and all the special effects and actors can portray this reality that absolutely doesn't exist, these people lactate. They are so turned on by it. It's amazing. And they'll jump back on the forums and be, oh my gosh, Star Wars Awakening is the best movie I've ever seen in my life. Ba, ba, ba. Okay, so all of a sudden, fiction and bullshit is completely awesome and great. So why, even if they see something that they don't believe, they have to all of a sudden flip polarity and become the most evil version of themselves they possibly can. Because if they're not an Army Corps of PsyOps person, right? Or a, you know, an automated software robot, if they're not one of those folks, then they're probably a decent human being sitting in some home somewhere, some living room somewhere, some cafe somewhere with their little typewriter connected to their tablet. And they take the darkest version of themselves. The fraidy cat subconsciousness that can't accept the fact that when they go in the pantry of their mind, they've put all that false shit on the true shelves. And, you know, when you walk in your house, like if you were to come home from a vacation and you left your house immaculate and you come home and either the person that you've given your keys to or some random person has come into your house and turned it upside down. They haven't stolen anything. But they just turned it upside down. All that labor that you invested in your house to put things in the right places, it's all screwed up. Well, you're going to be pissed off. Well, the moment you tell someone they've put a bunch of false things on the true shelves, it's sort of like that. They have to rearrange everything again. And, you know, I don't know. I guess if you set yourself up to be closed-minded, then the problem is I guess it's like walking into your house and everything's on the ceiling. And someone comes in and goes, you know, this is supposed to be on the other side of the room, right? The floor here is where everything's supposed to be. I mean, you know, you could do what you want, but that's just how the rest of people on the block are doing it. And they come over, they're going to think you're weird. And you don't want that, do you? I think people are waking up. You know, there's a lot of ways to view every second of your life. I'm probably more obsessed with the quality of every second of my life than most people. I would not say most of you, because I think you're probably close to me as well. You want every second to count to the best of your ability. And this does not mean you don't sit down and watch a stupid television show or do something that is just for your relaxation, because that's of paramount importance too. But I believe that if there's going to be a frequency of anything that I put through my system, regardless if it is for entertainment or for education, for productivity or relaxation, I want it to exude and contain as much truth as possible, because I think it's like this. Here's a weird analogy for you. You are, say, a gigantic slab of clay. I was going to say marble, but marble is unforgiving. Once you take away a piece of marble, you can't really put it back on without a lot of effort. And I think we're more like clay, because I think we can change. We can go back to who we were. We can change to something brand new. But let's just say that you have this big giant, you know, humanoid level block of clay, and you can turn it into whatever you want. And you've been working on yourself for a very long time, right? And you can take, you know, your hand, this organic, beautiful thing that, in my opinion, the human hand has got to be one of the most gorgeous inventions on planet Earth. And I know you can put a lot of jokes in there, but our creators are incredibly brilliant. And you could say, well, you got choices here. You can use your hand to form the clay with a few utensils to get the details into eyelashes and wrinkles and faces and that kind of stuff. Or you can use these giant egg beaters over here, you know, these bristle brushes that spin on drill bits, and you can try to carve this thing up. And immediately you're like, well, I want something to be organic and beautiful and beautiful. And I don't know how I can make it all beautiful if it's all jagged and crazy. So I'm going to choose my hand with these little, tiny little beautiful chisel tools to get the sharp shapes, sharp corners in there. And you're good. Now, what the hell am I talking about? What I'm talking about is the fact that if you surround yourself with truth, I think you get the beauty of who you are. You get this organic congruence with the universe, which, again, the universe can't live in a lie, because then it wouldn't exist, right? The physics of the universe, that I shouldn't say physics because there's a lot of bullshit in physics, but the mathematics, the electromagnetism, the ether theories of the universe, they are perfect and they are bug free. Maybe CERN can play with the code a little bit and get us to have some Mandela effects, right? But when you start using chaotic tools to design yourself, which I think would be the agitated lie, you're going to be unstable, flawed. It'd be like building a house out of graham crackers and trying to move a whole family full of 400-pound people in there. It ain't going to work. It's not going to be as beautiful as the universe itself. And if we want the universe to commune with us and us to commune with it, we have to be like the universe, which I believe is complete and pure honesty and truth. The universe feeds me every single day. I'm getting oxygen right now like crazy. I'm getting sunlight right now. The sunlight is penetrating my skull, stimulating my pituitary gland, giving me vitamin D right now. I'm breathing in, unfortunately, particulates from chemtrails, but the most of what I'm breathing in is pure oxygen. Without it, I die. It's got a warm atmosphere, so I'm not freezing to death, nor am I boiling. If I wanted to plant crops back here behind me, it would grow. And that's the truth of the universe. That is the bug-free code that is running around us constantly. So, just like the movie Tron, when humans go down inside the computer, they're called users, and they meet programs. We're programs inside this giant petri dish of whatever. And we have choices as to what code we try to run through us. You know? The awakening is well on its way to hitting the 50% mark. And I'd like to say that the awakening is at a point where we're about to see some serious changes. Now, I go to locations all over Orange County, and I sit down with people like my smoke lounge and stuff, and people ask me across the room, is the economy going to crash? Now, again, I don't have any cell phone numbers of the Rothschilds, right? In 2008, when the crash happened, it utterly decimated my clients. Like I told you guys before, I used to get phone calls in December of 2008. I got a phone call probably every 2 weeks with clients that were giving me $30,000 to $40,000 a month saying they're closing their doors. We had luckily had a few big contracts finished up when people had the money, so we got a lot of money. So we survived for a couple of years with our reserves and some clients that we still had that could find money. But it was devastating to the company. But the difference between a 2016 repeat, and it may take a year or so to have it happen, but I'm not so convinced this time. But the beauty about any sort of catastrophic change in this planet at this point is that that snowball is coming. That snowball of pure truth and lucidity is getting larger and larger and larger. And so I would say that there's a couple things that we can do over the summer here that are very, very important. One, we need to figure out what people are able to hear within this truth pool. Again, you know, you do not want to bring out flat earth to most people, right? You don't want to bring out, not that you believe it or I believe it, but we don't want to go off to those eccentric things unless someone's just like a UFO ghost person, like, just tell me something cool and amazing. That's the kind of person you bring out the wild stuff for. But before I get into the voter fraud thing and what's going on in the presidential election in America and what's going to happen in America, I just want to make sure, because a lot of you aren't dealing with the change of your presidents right now. They are going to potentially, right? Who knows? Crash the economy to, again, take our eyes off the ball. To take our focus away from what we need to be focusing on, which is them. You know, I was talking to some friends last night and or a couple nights ago, and I said, every police officer in America should be for Donald Trump. If you know anything about domestic violence, one of the major, major causes of domestic violence is money problems within the home. This country has horrible Common Core education, which is making sure every kid graduates with no knowledge at all about anything. And they get a credit card in the mail for $10,000 limits, right? But there's no jobs in this country, and there's not a single other candidate on planet Earth talking about preserving jobs, what they plan to do it in a friendly manner, who has experience dealing with foreign bodies like China, who has endorsements from Vladimir Putin to create jobs in America by simply adjusting our trade agreements, right? A police officer who has to get up in the morning and worry not whether or not he's going to be dead or she's going to be dead by the end of the night, and their family members who are associated with them go along with that same risk, right? As I've always said on the show, there's not a single holiday in America for police officers, and that's bullshit. You know, we have Memorial Day and 4th of July for soldiers here in America, and so they go to war, they do an amazing thing, and they come home, and the war is over. But a police officer's war starts every single day they go to work. And I don't give a shit if you're behind a desk doing 9/11 dispatch or you're out on the street risking your life. But as soon as a police officer's call for a domestic violence call, there might be an excited bit of adrenaline if they're a young cop. But when they go to that door, they know they could take a bullet through the head. They could get stabbed. They could have to kill someone. And it's often due to money issues within the home. Even if it's a drug-related domestic violence call, someone usually uses drugs to sort of take the pain and the edge away from having failed in life because there are no jobs and the education was so bad they can't find any job. Even though there might be jobs available, they can't figure out how to do it and no one's there to help. There's no system by which they can engage, right? So paying for all this stuff and giving it away for free doesn't fix a damn thing. Socialism, again, is the founding initial step of all tyrannical leaders in world history. One of my friends said a really funny thing. He goes, China and Russia are going to capitalism to make themselves the most powerful countries on planet Earth. And here we are contemplating going into socialism, the thing that brought them to third world status, right? And believe me, Russia has absolutely been in third world status. I think they're not in it now, but I think in the 80s and 90s, early 90s and mid 90s, they had totally devolved to third world status, regardless if their banking rating was high. I think, they lost 60 million people out of their population from the 80s to the 90s due to communist socialism. But a financial collapse is something that is not, what they do is they incubate up organic algorithms to make sure the historians can report something that technically speaking, on paper, if you're willing to look the other way, makes sense. But every financial collapse is completely orchestrated, right? America is not cash rich right now at all, right? So the idea that we're going to go to some socialistic platform to pay for everything is fucking laughable. You're $20 trillion in debt, and the way to fix the problem is to go, what, another $20 trillion in debt? As far as Hillary is concerned, well, let's just look at her record. When she got a bunch of people killed in Benghazi, what did she say? What difference does it make? Well, we've watched Obama pass a bunch of dictatorship laws, and everyone said, oh, he's going to be a dictator, he's going to be a new Hitler. No, he's not going to be the guy. The next person's going to be the guy, and it's going to be Hillary. So you're snatched in the middle of the night and you're assassinated, like I said in previous episodes, and she's just going to say, what difference does it make? She doesn't care. Fucks given, zero. Right? So there's a vote coming up November of this year. We've already seen voter fraud on a massive, confirmed, videotaped scale. Absolutely videotaped. Bernie Sanders has absolutely kicked Hillary Clinton's ass in this election. But he has lost. He's a numeric impossibility at this point to win the DNC primary. He can't win it. And no one supports Hillary, but she's got the majority. People who've audited the voting machines in the Democratic caucuses have revealed unequivocal voter fraud. When reported to the people that are supposed to protect the voting machines, we have treasonistic people on video. People who should be behind bars for the rest of their life and their surnames destroyed in their local area that are free today, who have covered up this voter fraud. And we have these asshole comedians that go online and make these shows trying to expose it but laughing about it, getting the audience to laugh about voter fraud as if, oh, well, as long as we can just laugh about it, it's okay. Well, you know what? A couple hundred years ago, if this kind of thing happened, maybe 250 years ago, around the Revolution time, if anybody was caught throwing a vote, a single vote, and they could prove it, your life expectancy was in dire jeopardy of ending very quickly. And today, we pay people to laugh about it, or to make us laugh about it. The November 2016 election, if Trump is not assassinated, is going to be the largest voter fraud situation you've ever seen in American history. It will be, as well, easy to find the voter fraud. And this is a big deal. It is more important than crashing the economy. But the economy crashing could be the second blow. Let's just say that we rise up as people, and we audit the machines, and we make sure that, whoever is gets voted into office gets there. And we have to be big enough to realize that if we do audit the machines and Bernie Sanders wins, or someone like Hillary wins, which won't happen, that we allow them in. But I think that the unification of all races in America is utterly phenomenal. If you're a legal citizen in America, or even an illegal citizen who's squatting here, the numbers are in. This guy, Donald Trump, is about to win. And I know if you're not for him, you hate this show all of a sudden, right? But those are the facts, right? Again, if you need to have a job to pay your bills, then you need a guy like Donald Trump to come in. Because we've turned America into a corporation. America is not a socialistic, communistic country yet. And so what Bernie wants to do isn't going to work because there's no infrastructure to turn us into a third world country. He'll take us there if he gets in, for sure. Hillary, well, everything that you hate about the world right now, even if you're in Europe, if you hate Americans and the way we behave, well, Hillary is absolutely going to make sure that you hate us extra lots, right? If Hillary gets into office, what's interesting is if you were to look at the timeline in the Book of Life, and she is able to throw the vote with the Bilderberg group that does this, and all these soccer moms who turn into these shills for the voting fraud system, because they literally have been convinced that lying to get their candidate in is okay. I have never heard a single Trump supporter say that we just got to take this vote no matter what. I've never heard a single person say that. But Hillary supporters are the people that can look at her saying, what difference does it make? And they don't feel the slightest moral ping in their body. They've committed a sin against their fellow man, right? They are delusionally self-loathing, right? But if you need an income, you need this guy. The Book of Life, if Hillary Clinton gets in, is going to have a bunch of red ink. The second that her vote goes in, there's going to be red ink all over the future of America. And, if you take the whole population, 350 million people, and Hillary Clinton goes into office, she's going to keep these wars going. She's going to expand the wars. She's going to be try to be as manly as she possibly can by being the exaggerated female impression of a man, because that's the kind of person she is. You just look at her. I don't think there's a lot of females on planet Earth like her. I think she's a very unique, completely psychotic woman. But if you're in a car right now listening to this on a podcast, and you can look out on the vista of your windshield and see a bunch of people, and I'm going to say probably even if you're in Europe, and this woman goes into office, and if we could do a little experiment where God himself would mark people red, their whole body's just a tint of red because they're going to die in the next 4 years to 8 years if she gets in. If Hillary Clinton gets in, there's going to be millions and millions of people dead by the time she's done. Probably most of them in the Middle East. And when she goes to bed at night, she's going to sleep like a fucking baby saying, what difference does it make? Because that's what she believes about human life. She has abstracted herself away. We are the cattle, ready for the slaughter. We are the sheep, as she has been quoted by Secret Service people saying that these stupid Democrats will believe anything we tell them. So just tell them whatever they need to hear. Right? But now, let's take the Book of Life and you put a businessman in. If you're in Europe and you're a little bit dismayed about the economic health of the EU, and the fact that you're stuck in it, for one thing, Or if you've ever enjoyed your previous lives in different decades, right? I don't know if you can remember who you were before you were this life, but in the life that you've lived now, if you've ever had a moment of prosperity, and I don't mean to say this in a boastful way, but when America got its experiment going, built out of European brains to keep the world free, you got a big slice of freedom. The monarchs of Europe fell when the monarchs were kicked out of Europe. Now, of course, they weren't really the only people in charge, and so the next monarchs were bankers that hid themselves, right? But if Trump gets into office and we can protect his life and we can get people on board and we can demonize all these senators who've been lying to us for fucking ever, if we can take the military-industrial complex and purge it of all the pandering douchebags who just, you know, fill foreign countries with money to help build walls and persecute people, if we can get this place reset over here, the vested interest for you in another country is that your people are going to see this. You're going to see our gross national product and our gross domestic product skyrocket. You're going to see us bring factories back. You're going to see us improve our education. And then you get the, you will personally demand it in your own country with an example across the ocean. Look at what America does. We want that to happen for us. And every third world country trying to, again, steal what we have or what you have, we'll have to go back to the drawing board. We'll have to be what they actually are, which is copycats and manufacturers of our ideas. But once we protect our ideas and build them in our local borders, we'll have national pride again. And when I visit your country, it will be your country. It will be your culture. I want to go to Scotland and live in a Scottish history. I don't want to go over there and feel like I'm visiting the Middle East, for fuck's sake, right? I don't care if there's every race there, but if someone's going to go live there, if I move to Scotland, I want to be, shit, I'll go buy a kilt and get into it, right? I got a little bit of Scottish blood in my family, right? My uncle's like, looks like David Tennant's uncle. So voter fraud is going to be the most massive thing that we need to be aware of today, and we need to track it right now before it gets out of control. Because it's going to be, it's been around forever. I'm not trying to say it's just starting, but what's going to happen is an epic opportunity to catch these folks. And there's two things that need to occur. One, we need to identify the fact that it's happening in all 50 states. And two, we need to have jail cells ready. And when we handcuff these bastards who are part of this voter fraud, we need to put them on as tight as possible. If you're a police officer and you have the opportunity to arrest someone related to voter fraud, I want you to clamp down those cuffs as tight as possible. Make them bleed. Remind them that they are traitors of America and the Constitution that you've sworn to uphold. And people who throw votes, they're the reasons why you have to go to a domestic violence call and worry whether or not you're going to come get home safe. That shit needs to end. There's always going to be domestic violence calls, yes. There's always going to be criminals. There's going to be people that, regardless of their educational abilities and the available jobs, they don't want to work. They want to steal it all. I get it. You know, if we do fix Common Core, it's not going to re-educate those who are already out of the K-12 system. So we're going to have people that are going to need to be trained. But most people who aren't good academically are really good with their hands. It's just a beautiful marriage between the two. You're either one or the other. But we can employ either side. But we don't have factories. We can't get people who are good with their hands to do anything. And I have to say, as much as they've tried to in the mass media convince us that, you know, blacks and Mexicans hate Donald Trump, it's bullshit. They're hip, man. They're hip to this whole game. And we are one American race. This country was built out of the labor force of damn near every single culture on earth. So we're, you know, in America, we're in a very unique position to be able to bring in other cultures and use them. Now, we weren't built out of Arab blood much. And no offense to anyone who's listening who's of Arab descent, but, you know, our railroads and our, a lot of our culture is built out the Asians. We had blacks and whites building this place up like crazy. Unfortunately, the blacks were held in slavery for several hundred years. That's horrible. Our Mexican brothers and sisters down south, they've got Club Med land down there, and they're trying to move to America. How bizarre is that? But the ones that have actually come over here and set up shop want to protect what they have. And we want to regulate the amount of people that can simply come into a finite space. We cannot take it all. But we shouldn't have to, and they shouldn't have to come out of it. They shouldn't have to leave their sovereign countries. I've said several times on the show. China should have a world that is wonderful, and they should want to live in their native land. Mexico should have a wonderful, vibrant land that's not run by 39 drug cartel families. And this is the first step, right? Getting a businessman to run a corporation called the United States of America Corporation. But instead of running in the name of the cartel banks that create these fiat currencies and all the wars to support it, we simply create great things. Exciting new products. Inventions that solve energy problems and health problems, medical problems and farming problems, and then pass it out around the world, right? I think you feel me. If we happen to unify underneath a single person, if we can successfully do the unthinkable, which is stop their voter fraud machine, which will be in high gear, as I've just said, they will do what they can to pop the derivative bubble, which is quadrillions of dollars worth of global debt. At that point, we simply need to say, we do not acknowledge your debt. The $20 trillion of debt that America has, and I don't know what it is now, probably $50 trillion of all the combined EU states, we just need to say, fuck off. Go away. All that debt's just in your ledgers in some goddamn computer. Oh, and by the way, if you're related to that fake debt, if you're a banker family or a banker head, we're going to do it like Iceland. You're all going to jail. If nothing else, we're just going to kick you out of the United States of America. And any bank associated with the Federal Reserve, private for-profit bank, you're gone. You're gone. This is part of the big snowball truth. The outer veneer, the outer layer on this snowball of truth that's coming down the hill that's most important is not the past. It's the present. And fiat currencies related to war, related to oil, are the outermost important concepts. Right? And the mechanism by which this ball stays together, the G-force and gravity that holds it together, is the right to have your vote counted. I have no doubt, like I said before, that Scotland voted itself out of being controlled by Britain. No doubt. But it was thrown. So economic collapse would only be mandatory if the wrong guy gets an office that doesn't endorse their fiat systems. Now, the Wall Street Journal, like I've said several times, has been saying that they're going to crash it even if Hillary gets an office, because there's simply a cycle of prosperity that must end within 8 years. That's their cycle. Well, 2008, they crunched us down at the end of the year and destroyed the prosperity of several of us, right? I had a multi-million dollar gaming company. It simply couldn't survive the crash of 2008. Now, we existed for another 4 years, easy. But eventually, it just sort of petered off. And there were some industry changes, so it's not all of that. But right now, you have $5 billion game companies that can't take the Star Wars franchise and make a single dime of profit from it. Some of it's because of shitty game design. But part of it's just, you know, we don't have the education to make great entertainment experiences anymore. But even if it does happen, the right guy gets in office, but they pull every shenanigan in the book to put us upside down. This time around, let's be calm. Let's be calm. You know, it's almost like that old war movie scene where you have a bunch of guys in the trenches and they're ready for the invading force, where we're all in a big line, like Rome, the show Rome on HBO back a long time ago, and we're all in a big line and we're waiting for that marching force to come at us, right? For that running, screaming horde of people coming at us, which in this case would be the bankers and the delusional. And the army that loses right away is the one that stands there in complete terror. And the one that wins starts to look at the vulnerability of their armor. You know, the fact that their stuff's not made of iron, that their knees are open, that their faces are open, we got helmets on, that they're carrying sticks with rocks tied to the end, and we have swords, and we have longbows, and we keep calm. And we know that we have phases to how we, you know, the front line, you know, engages for 60 seconds and then there's a whistle blown and the front line replaces it, you know, moves back to the back of the line and the next line hits because they're all ready and rested up and ready to go. And as they are rested and ready to go, they're also analyzing all the vulnerabilities and watching what swings actually worked for the row in front of them. And we keep calm. That has to be us as we awake. Again, as I've always said, the greatest film you can show your children is Pixar's Bug's Life. It's sort of antiquated looking now, but it teaches your children that grasshoppers are outnumbered by the ants. We have some crotchety old grasshoppers that run banking cartels, that run monarchies, and we're the ants, and there's a fuckload more of us than them. And it's just a paradigm shift up here in the brain. It's a free revolution right here in the brain. Not a single drop of blood has to be shed, really. We just have to go, put your hands behind your back. You can run if you want, but that dude with 308 with the 50 power scope, he's gonna shred your body. So you got a choice. You can be in a hole the rest of your life, or you can be just bleeding out here 50 feet away from where we are today. It's up to you, man. But we'd rather not put more of your sin on our back, incarcerating you. That's all that has to happen. It's really just that simple. Let's not be divided, right? Let's not let conspiracies divide us. Let's not let this soap opera on whatever channel and forum you're in become your life. Stick to the issues and try to support issues that are relevant, that will make life better for you and your kids and everyone around you. Because even though the kids are sort of frustrating right now, the level of entitlement is on maximum. And I know plenty of Gen Xers that are horrible entitled kids. They'll switch once they find out they've been duped too, once they awake, once they're hit by the snowball coming down this hill. Because everyone, you know, the other analogy of the snowball is there's a bunch of arms and legs sticking out of the snowball, and that's us as we've been scooped up in this truth ball. It's a little chaotic inside, so we're not quite sure what's right and what's wrong, but we know that we've been lied to. We're waking up. Let's shut down all mass media, from television shows like Fox and CNN to the New York Times and the LA Times. Let's shut them down. To all your local newscasters that talk to you like you're absolute morons, don't watch any ads on any of these forums. You click on an article on CNN and they roll an ad front, just shut the browser down. Fuck those guys. Don't eat their commercialism, right? Because the second you have to watch commercials to get the news about the world, you know you're in the wrong plane of existence, right? And we can't always just escape. You know, we can't just dreamscape out of everything. We're going to have to make some changes like our forefathers did. In every single one of your countries, you have forefathers and mothers that protected everything. And that's us now. And we shouldn't be upset it's happening on our watch. We should just engage it, get it over with, pull the Band-Aid off, point that emperor out. He's walking down the street and buck naked. And the fun thing is after this is all over, we get to have a lot of good times, right? We get to meet each other again. There's no more TSA. Perhaps there is no border, but there's no TSA. Maybe for a little while there's a border. You can't have a border someone saying there shouldn't be a border, but we have TSA, as I've said in other episodes, right? I should be able to come and visit my friends in Scotland without having a problem getting through the airport, being treated like a criminal. People should be able to keep their indigenous people in their own countries and visit. Visit all you want. Bring us your money. We'll give you products for it. Products you can't have in your country, and we'll visit you, and you give us the products we can't find anywhere else in the whole world besides your country. And then we'll brag about visiting you, and you'll brag about visiting us. And we'll make friends, and you can come to our house and stay in our guest bedrooms and say, dude, I got my Arab friends there. It's cool, man. They're teaching me my Arabic. They're only staying for a week. I wish they could stay for a month. Let's have conversations like that. Let's build a world where that is our mechanism of celebrating each other. If someone else's world sucks, let's fix it where they are instead of trying to give them the food off of our table permanently, right? I know you feel me. This is a very windy day. My God, I hope the microphone is not pummeled by wind. The awakening is happening. Let's do what we can to make it happen. If you haven't already, go to MKUltraRadio.com for all the links at the top. If you haven't joined the Facebook, it's Facebook.com/DeepThoughtsRadio. Thank you so much for all of your viewership. You know, again, I'm a little harsh. I put in some dirty words here and there. But this is sort of the counterweight to being talked to like you're a moron. You know? So anyway, thanks for watching. Please subscribe. If you dig it, please like. And I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.